So, are there some things in life that you wish could last forever? Are there some things in life you wish could last forever? Remember being a kid? Sometimes kids wish that they could just be a kid forever. Some kids wish they never had to grow up, right? That was Toys R Us. Toys R Us made billions of dollars off of that. I don't want to grow up, right? I'm a Toys R Us. So sometimes being a kid, you just want to be a kid forever. We know that doesn't happen, right, Mike? We're not a kid forever. But sometimes when you become a parent and your kids are at a certain age, not the other stage, but sometimes your kids are at a certain age, your kids are at a certain stage in life, and you're just like, wouldn't it be great if they could be like this forever? They could stay this age and stay this stage forever. And then they'd grow up and become teenagers and young adults, and we just wish we could go back to that time at a time before. Are there some things in life you wish could last forever? You visit with your grandkids, and you hold your grandkids in your hands. Don't you wish that could last for it? But you know that these kind of things don't last forever. What about in this church? Are there some things that you wish could last forever? Allie, you're sitting on the pew where Don and Carol Dodd used to sit. Don was one of our elders. Carol Dodd was one of the best ladies that ever walked the face of this earth. Don't you wish some things could just last forever? Sitting behind them, Gorman, is where Bill and Inell Ingram used to sit. Don't you just wish some things could last forever? And Joe and Mary and Holland. So there were three former elders that all just sat right in that little section right there. Don't you wish when it comes to the church, don't you just wish there were some things that could last forever? Amen. I love Connor, Troy, Casey, and Adara, and Ariana, and Trey. I'm thankful you guys are up here. I remember when all four rows of this section right here used to be full of teenagers. And oh, how I wish it could be full again. I'm thankful for you. Don't you wish there were some things even in the church that could last forever? But you know, things change. Some things don't last forever. But is there anything about this congregation? Is there anything about Palm Beach Lakes, is Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ, we sometimes just abbreviate it PBL. Is there anything about PBL that is forever? I would suggest to you that while we've talked about some things this morning that just don't last forever, that there is something about this congregation that is forever. You might fill in the blank with what that might be in a lot of different ways, but this morning I want us to think about the purpose of this congregation. What is the purpose of this church? The purpose of this congregation is not something that's going to fade away, not something that's going to pass with time. It is something that is forever. So I want to invite you to get your Bibles out and go to Mark chapter 12. Go to the passage that was read, and we're going to expand upon that and look at some of the verses before and after the passage that was read this morning. And if you're one of my favorite listeners, the people who take notes, those are some of my favorite listeners. If you're looking for the title of this sermon, it's on the screen. Sometimes the title's really obvious for a sermon. The title of this sermon is PBL Forever. All right? We're going to talk about PBL Forever this morning. We're going to talk about what is the purpose of this congregation. Now, not what does David think the purpose is. Not what do the elders or the deacons think the purpose is. What does God say that the purpose of this church is? And we're going to find this in Mark chapter 12. And we're going to look at other verses as we go through this. But as we look in Mark chapter 12, we're going to divide the fourfold purpose that I see in Mark chapter 12 for this church. We're going to divide each of the fourfold purposes into these categories. We're going to talk about Jesus' words in this section. We're going to talk about, in other places in the New Testament, Jesus' instructions that he gave, and then look in other parts of the life of Jesus and look at his example that he left for us in each of these four purposes that we have as a congregation. What is our purpose as a church? Look in Mark chapter 12, where this man comes to Jesus and this man asks Jesus a question in verse 28. What is the most important? What is the first? What is the foremost commandment of all? And what does Jesus tell him in verse 29? Here it is. Here's the first. Here's the foremost. Here's the most important commandment of all. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall, what in verse 30? You shall love, here's the Jesus' words, you shall love the Lord your God. How much? Love him just a little bit? Leave a little bit of room in there for some ice cream in your heart? Love him with what? Love him with all of your heart. Anything else? Love him with all of your soul. Love him with all of your mind. Love him with all of your strength. Do you see how he uses the word all four times? He could have just said, love him with all your mind, soul, all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But he put the word all in there four different times to say, this needs to encompass everything about you. Amen. Jesus, what's our purpose? What's our purpose as a congregation? What's my purpose as a Christian? Are you listening? Our purpose, Jesus says, first and foremost, is to please God. Not self, not somebody else. My purpose, first and foremost, your purpose, first and foremost, is to please our God. To love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. Not leave anything out in what we give to God. Do you read anywhere else in the New Testament about pleasing God? You read about it all over the place. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, we make it our... Here's the instructions of Jesus throughout the rest of the New Testament. We make it our aim, Paul says, to be pleasing to God. What's your aim? What's the purpose? What's your aim in life? Paul says, it needs to be to please God. Colossians 1 and verse 10, to be fully, not halfway, not a lot of the way, to be fully pleasing to Him. Why are we here? Why does God have this congregation here? To please Him. Amen. When Jesus came, guess what Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 29? You want to look at the example of the Son of God Himself? Jesus said, I always do those things that please Him. Could you take those words? Could you take those words and adopt those words to you? Could you say, it's not just that Jesus says this. Here's what I say. I always do those things that please God. Am I going to fall short? Yeah. Am I going to make mistakes? Yeah, I'm going to do that. But I'm going to pick myself up. And what's my goal? What's my purpose in life? Number one, to please God. Does that ever fade? Does that ever pass? No. That's part of PBL forever. That's part of my purpose on this earth forever. But look again in Mark chapter 12. Because Jesus says that's not our only purpose. Our number one purpose is to be pleasing to God. But he says there's more than that. Look in the next verse. When he says in verse 31, the second commandment. What's the first and foremost commandment? Love the Lord your God with all that you have. Well, Jesus gives him a bonus answer. He says, the second is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these. What's my purpose? To love my neighbor. What does that mean? What does that involve? What's involved in loving others as myself? Well, we're going to talk about two things with that. But my purpose here in loving my neighbor, the word that's used here for love is a word we often use, we often talk about here, that Greek word that means to put somebody else's needs above my own, to put somebody else's interests above my own. What does our world need? What is it that people that we know, what is their greatest need? Their greatest need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. What's my purpose here? Number one, to please God. What's my purpose here? The letter B, to bring the lost to Jesus. Jesus says, love the Lord with all that you've got. But the second, it's like it. Love others as you would love yourself. Do you want to be saved? Do you want a relationship with Jesus? Do you want to go to heaven? Then shouldn't you love others that much? Our purpose in this life, in pleasing our God, is to look out to this dark world, and you see the color of those arrows, to be the light in a world of darkness. And to see those who are lost in desperate need of what we have and to give it to them. You think about Jesus' instructions. Is there anything else in the rest of the Bible that talks about this? I love Matthew 14. This is not in the context of bringing the lost to Jesus, but it is. Matthew 14, there's a very short verse. It's the story in Matthew 14 of Jesus feeding the 5,000, feeding the great multitude. And as his disciples are kind of conversing with Jesus and trying to tell him, Jesus, we don't have enough food to feed all of these people. In a very short verse in Matthew 14 and verse 18, Jesus says five words, and he's saying these words to us today. He says five words to his disciples in Matthew 14. They're saying, Lord, we don't have enough. And he says five words to them, and guys, he's saying this to us. Matthew 14, 18, Jesus doesn't say, you're right, we can't handle this big of a crowd. You're right, just send them on their way. What does he say to his disciples? Bring them here to me. Guess what Jesus is saying to us? Bring them here to me. That is why we are here. That's how we love others as we love ourselves. We put their needs and their interest above our own. What is it? They need Jesus. That's our job. That's our purpose here. And so in Ephesians chapter 3, when he uses that word purpose, God's eternal purpose for the church is what? To make known the manifold wisdom of God. Do we see this ever in the life of Jesus? Yeah, we see it all throughout the life of Jesus. But what about his example in Luke 19 and verse 10? Hear the words of Jesus. The Son of Man has come to do what? Why did Jesus come? Did he come to enjoy the shore of the Jordan River and to drop a lure in there every once in a while and to pull out some fish? Is that why he came? Why did Jesus come? Jesus came in Luke 19, 10 to seek and to save that which is lost. If I'm going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, if I'm going to be pleasing to God, if I'm going to fulfill my purpose, I've got to bring the lost to Jesus. But come back to what Jesus says in Mark chapter 12 and verse 31. Because there's another application of you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The first application are to those who are outside of Christ. To those who are lost in the world, my responsibility is to love them and to bring them into a relationship with Jesus, to bring them into His church. But what about those who are in the church? Do I have a responsibility to them? It's the same wording. I want you to look very closely at this circle right here. What is my responsibility? Not just to those who are outside the church, but to those who are inside the church, my responsibility is to love them. You look around this room today. My responsibility is to put your needs and your interests, same word, love, to put your needs and your interests above my own. Your responsibility is to look around this room and to put the needs and the interests, what the brethren need, above our own. It's to look out and to say, I am going to love them the way that Jesus loves them. Because that's what Jesus told us to do in His instructions in John chapter 13. In verse 34, Jesus says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. It's similar to one that was in the Old Testament. The Old Testament said to love one another, but He says, I'm going to give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. What's new about it? The part that says you measure your love for others and how much love Jesus has for us. What has Jesus done? You see, this word for love is not just a feeling that we have. Oh, I like you. You're so nice. No, it's not a feeling. This word for love is an action. This word for love involves me doing something. This involves me getting up and serving others. And that's why it is Galatians up here. I think I took it off. You can add to this list Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, where the Bible says, through love, serve one another. This kind of love is a serving love. This kind of love, Romans 10, 12 and verse 10, is one that outdoes others in honoring each other. Outdo one another in honoring one another is what, and so that needs to be my goal, is to find ways that I can fulfill Galatians 6 and verse 10, as you have opportunity, do good unto all men. You know what the rest of the verse says? Especially those of the household of faith. Do I see this in the life of Jesus? Yeah, I see this in the life of Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, the Bible says that Jesus loved us and He gave Himself up for us. Do we sometimes not help each other out because it's not a convenient time? Do we sometimes not do unto others because, well, they haven't done anything for me, so I'm not getting anything out of this? Do we sometimes make excuses for why we can't serve in the church and help our brethren and look out for each other? Who's our model? The one who loved us and gave Himself for us. Can you imagine Jesus making excuses? Can you imagine Jesus, when it was time for Him to come down to earth, saying to the Father, you know, it's just not really a good time for me right now. Can you imagine Jesus saying, those people, I'm going to go and do good for those. What have they done for me lately? You know, Jesus didn't do any of that. In a selfless way, He came down. In Matthew 20 and verse 28, you can add that to the example list. Matthew 20 and verse 28, Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. If I'm going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, if I'm going to fulfill my responsibility, my goal, my purpose of pleasing God, then I've got to love my brethren. But look in Mark chapter 12, and you're going to have to back up for this, because it's when Jesus was talking to the Sadducees who came to Him. In Mark chapter 12, verse 18, there were some Sadducees who came to Jesus. And the Bible tells us in this verse that they don't believe in the resurrection. How sad are you when you don't believe in the resurrection? How sad are you when you believe that when you're dead, it's over? That's it. That's not what God taught, not what Jesus taught, not what the Bible teaches. And so they come and they try to trick Jesus. And so look at what Jesus says in verse 24. Are you not therefore mistaken? Because you don't know the Scriptures nor the power of God. Look in verse 25. Are you with me in Mark 12, verse 25? Does He use the word if in verse 25? Does He say, if they rise from the dead in your Bible? Do you have the word if? Raise your hand if you don't raise your hand. Raise your hand if you got the word if, and you don't have the word if in your Bible. Sometimes there's smarties who raise their hand anyway, so that's why I said don't raise. But you don't have the word if. What word do you have instead of the word if? When. He says in verse 25, for when they rise from the dead. There's no question in the words of Jesus. Verse 26, but concerning the dead, that they rise, they're not going to stay dead. He says, haven't you read in the burning bush passage how God said, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but he's the God of who? The living. What does that tell us? That tells us that life is not limited to this earth. What I'm doing is not limited to this earth. What's my purpose here? My purpose is to please God. What's my purpose here? To bring the lost to Jesus. What's my purpose here? To love the brethren. What's my purpose here? My purpose is to do that forever so that we can go to heaven together. How limited would it be if we're just going to try to reach out to the lost for something here on the earth or to serve each other for something here on the earth? God says, open your eyes. Your purpose is much bigger. Your purpose is eternal. Your purpose is to help everyone, including yourself, get to heaven together. You see this anywhere else in the New Testament? You see it all over the New Testament, the further instruction of Jesus in Colossians 1 and verse 28. What's our responsibility? To warn every man, to teach every man. Why? That we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You know what our purpose is? To help every person be ready to meet Jesus. Not right now, for eternity to go to heaven. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I love verse 19, what Paul says. Paul writes to these Christians and he says, you know what? He says, you know what my joy is? You know what my hope is? Do you know what my crown of rejoicing is? No, Paul, what is it? What's your joy, your hope, your crown of rejoicing? He said, it's you in the presence of Jesus Christ at His coming. Paul's focus was on forever. Paul's focus was on helping people get to heaven. What about Jesus? Was that Jesus' focus? John 14 and verse 3, Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I will come again and do what? Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Jesus was focused on heaven. What's our purpose here? I handed out a number of envelopes to a number of guys, and I dropped some on the ends of the pews and didn't even tell them why I was doing that. But if you've got one of these envelopes, guys, if you'll rip open that envelope and start passing out the contents to everybody who's here, they need something that's in those envelopes. Victor, you got your envelopes? So don't be shy. All of these guys have got some. Gary's got one. Lawrence. So, men, if you've got one of these envelopes, I want you to just tear it open and to give the contents. Everybody here needs one. What's everybody getting? You're getting a sticker. Aren't you glad you came today? If you didn't come today, you wouldn't get a sticker. Everybody today is getting a sticker. And I don't know where you're going to put this. Maybe you're going to put it on your Yeti. I don't know. Maybe you're going to put it on your laptop. Maybe you're going to put it on your mirror. Maybe you're going to put, I don't know where you're going to put this sticker. But can I encourage you to put this somewhere where you will be reminded? What's my purpose? My purpose is to please God. What's my purpose? My purpose is to bring the lost to Jesus. What's my purpose? My purpose is to love the brethren. For how long? You see, there's some things about this congregation that aren't forever. But PBL is forever when we see that as our purpose. And so what our elders have done in helping to create this concept of helping us to focus in on what is our purpose, what our elders want you to know today is that centered around this purpose, they have formed the works of this congregation. And so central to our cause, central to our purpose in fulfilling these goals that Jesus has given us is the work of this congregation. And so as those stickers are coming around, and they'll get one eventually to you. There's enough stickers in all of those envelopes to make sure you get one. So don't leave here without one. But I want to share with you today the works that the elders of this congregation, they've divided the works of this congregation into 10 different categories, but they all come back to the heart of this being our purpose. What's our purpose? 10 different categories of works that our elders have created for us. And I want, as we go through these, before I put that first one up, as we go through these, I want you to ask yourself the question, where do I fit up here? As we go through these, ask yourself the question, where do I fit? Where is there, because I guarantee you, there are places, plural, there are places for you in this. And we're going to tell you where when we get to the end of it. There are places for you in this. But I want you to look at this and say, where do I fit in the whole scheme of this congregation, the work this congregation is doing? Where do I fit? So the elder said, here's our purpose. PBL forever. How do we break that down into various categories of work? Number one, what are we trying to do? We're trying to share Jesus with individuals. We're trying to share the gospel with others and to invite them to come and to worship with us in this place. Do you have a place in that? Do you fit there in sharing the gospel and inviting people to worship with us? You do. Well, what happens when people come and worship with us? Well, then we need to greet them. We need to be welcoming to them. We don't need to just let them walk in and walk out and nobody talk to them. They need to be warmly, and if you're a guest here today, I hope we've done a good job in helping you feel welcome and wanted here. We're trying. We're not perfect, but we're trying. Brethren, there's a place for all of us right there to greet them and to make them feel welcome. And then when they go home, to try to reach out to them and encourage them to come again. To tell them thank you for coming. And to ask them to come back and worship with us again. To see if we can have an opportunity with them and with our friends, with our family members, to sit down and to have a Bible study with them. Which might end up resulting, just like the one on Friday did with Israel, in them being converted to Christ, being baptized into Christ. And all of a sudden, when somebody becomes a part of this family, guess what our responsibility is? To make them feel a part of this family. Not to hold them at arm's length, say, well, you're going to be on a 6-month probation and see if you really want to be a part of us. And then after 6 months, you know, we'll sign a contract and let you in. There's no such thing in the Bible. When somebody was baptized in Acts chapter 2, the Lord added them to His church immediately. They need to become a part of this family. Brethren, there's something there for all of us to make sure that those who become a part of this church feel like they're a part of this family. And when they become a part of this family, we all have responsibility to serve and encourage each other. We saw that verse in Galatians 5:13, through love, serve one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another, build each other up. Is there something for us in that? There's definitely something for us in that. What about just getting together, enjoying fellowship with each other, having activities together and being involved in each other's life? There's something there for us. What about in our education program? What about when we come together and teaching, especially teaching our children's Bible classes? Is there a place for you to serve there? Is there something that you could do in preparing for the worship, like some who prepare the Lord's Supper? Aren't you thankful for the people who bake the bread? Aren't you thankful for the people who come early on Sunday and prepare the tray so that every Sunday, just like the Bible says, every Sunday we can partake of the Lord's Supper? Are there some areas where men can serve in the worship of this church? There's a place for you to serve. Are there some things that need to be done to maintain the property here so that when we do have guests come, that it looks like a nice place to worship? These 10 categories are areas where the elders have said, look, what's our purpose? Our purpose is to be PBL forever. Our purpose is to please God, to bring the lost to Jesus, to love the brethren, and to do this forever. How do we do this? We break it up into sections where we can understand, what are we trying to do? Now, when you came in today, in the back were these little blue papers. Did y'all get one of these little blue papers? If you didn't get one of these little blue papers, then on the way out, get one of these little blue papers. Because inside of this little blue paper, there are 99 just different ideas inside of this. And the idea of this little blue paper is to say, there are lots of things that you can do for the Lord and for His church without anybody asking you to do it. You know, sometimes people don't get involved in the Lord's work because they say, well, nobody asked me to do anything. Well, sometimes that's a legitimate excuse because there are some things that we need to be asked to do. And we might not get to do certain things if we're not asked to do it. But you might take time today to look through this and to realize there's a whole lot of things I can do for the Lord and His church without anybody ever asking me to do it. Can we do that? Can we get involved in these ideas of evangelism and edification as they're divided out in here in these two sections? Can we get involved in fulfilling our purpose by simply finding things we can do on our own? You see, working for the Lord is not about the credit that we get. Working for the Lord is about pleasing Him, doing what He's asked us to do. But in these 10 categories of works, our elders and our deacons have looked at these things and they've said, we need to get the congregation involved. We need to get more of the members involved in the various works of the church. And so, several years ago, the elders put together the work of the church and they called it Laborers Together with God. And you may have heard that terminology before. It's based upon 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul talks about him and Apollos, Paul and Apollos, and he says, we're fellow workers. Apollos and I, we're fellow laborers. We're working together. Remember the verse where Paul says, I planted and Apollos watered? We're working together in this. And so guess what? We're fellow workers. We're fellow laborers. But I love verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 3 where it says, we are God's fellow laborers. We're not just working with each other. We're laboring together with God. We're side by side. So when we're doing the work for God, we're not on our own. He's working together with us. And so as you leave here today, you saw those tables when you first came in. They were all covered up and they had those signs on it that said, no peeking. You know, don't look at this until after worship. Well, guess what? When you leave here today, if you're a member of this church, when you leave here today, there are booklets out there on the table that look just like this, Labors Together with God, that have opportunities to serve within them. And what our elders and deacons have done is they have remember these 10 categories of works? They've divided the work of the church into these 10 categories, and then they have found 63 specific opportunities within these 10 categories of work where they say, we need help. We need people to sign up. We need people to say, I would like to be involved in that work. When we did this several years ago, we actually had about 300 of them instead of 63. That was a little bit overwhelming for a lot of people. And so the elder said, you know what? We just need to kind of focus this in and get more specific on what we're looking for. As you go through the booklet, look over these things. Now, as you leave here today, there's two tables out there. Table on the left, last name A through K. Table on the right, last names L through Z. And if you are a member of this congregation, your name will be on one of them. So if you're a member of this congregation, don't walk by the tables. Because this week we will look down and we'll see, wait a minute, they were here on Sunday and they didn't even pick up their booklet? What? Now we've got to mail it to them. So if you're here today and you're a member of this congregation, grab the booklet on your way out. And then take it home and look through it. There's 15 pages. There's 15 pages, so it's not a big booklet. There's 15 pages inside of this booklet. So take it home, look through it. Take it home, look through it, and pray about it. Don't just say, oh, I don't care. This is God's work, right? We're God's fellow laborers. Pray and ask God, God, help me, use me, find a place for me to work in this church. And then as you go through there, there's just going to be a checkbox. It's really difficult. There's just going to be a checkbox. I would like to do this. Checkbox here. Checkbox here. You don't go through and check off all 63. That doesn't make you like super Christian, all right? Oh, I checked off all 63. I'm better than... No. What if a deacon called you today and said, we need your help, and what would you be willing to do? Check off those things where you have an interest, where you would be willing to work. Now, you might read through the 63 things, and you get to the end of them, and you say, well, this isn't there. I was thinking this would be, I would like to be involved in this, but I didn't see it in the 60. Okay, great. There's a little box on page 15. And in the little box on page 15, it's going to say, if there's something not listed here that you'd really like to do, write it in this box and the elders will consider it. So that's where you put it. And the elders will look at that and they'll say, look, great. Somebody wants to come here and to wash all of the windows morning, noon, and night so that they stay clear all of the time. Wonderful. We'll let them do that. So if you want to be the person that washes the windows here morning, noon, and night, fantastic. Just kidding. You've got something, write it there. Now, there's also a place on page 15, after you've checked off some things of the 63, there's also a place on page 15 that says, but of all the things I checked off, this is the one that I'd really like to do. There might be some things you check off, you're like, yeah, if they asked me to do it, I would do it. But this is the one that I really want. Then write that on page 15. Number is the one that I would really like to do. So that the elders and deacons can see that, so that they can take that into their consideration as they're dividing up the various works of the church. Now, when do we need those back? Next Sunday. If we gave you more than that, you wouldn't need more than that, right? I mean, how long is it going to take you to go? It's not going to take you 30 minutes to go through this whole thing. So you can bring it back tonight. You can bring it back Wednesday night. But just give it to any elder, deacon, or preacher, any secretary. But by next Sunday, bring it back so that those can be put in the database and all of that information get entered in. And that way, the deacons can start contacting people. Brethren, the Bible tells us that we have a purpose. The Bible tells us that our purpose is to be pleasing to God first and foremost. That we are to bring the lost to Jesus, that we are to love each other, and we're to strive to help all of us get to heaven forever. I thank God for our elders here. I thank God that they're not just coasting along and say, well, okay, everything seems to be going all right. You know, we'll just keep... I thank God that our elders are trying to get us involved in the work of the church. There are some members of this church that are doing a lot. You know what the other side of that coin is? Some members of this church that are, and you can finish the sentence. Where are you in that spectrum? God wants all of us to be involved in His work together. The more we can do together, the more pleasing we can be together to our God in heaven. May God help us to be like Jesus and to be busy about our Father's business. May God help us to follow the example of that New Testament church that was always abounding in the work of the Lord. May God help us, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, to each do our part. Ephesians 4 says we all have a part. And every part, when it does its share, causes the growth of the body. Are you doing your part? Is there something holding this church back from growing as it needs to do? May God help us to fulfill His purpose that He's given to us. Let's pray together. Holy Father, we have talked about some exciting things today. Most exciting, we've talked about Your work today. We've talked about Your church. We've talked about the purpose that You have given to us in this place. Father, we are so thankful for Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for the blood that He shed. We're thankful for the fact that the Bible says that that blood purchased His church and that we can be a part of that church today. Father, we pray that this church here will truly be the church that we read about in the Bible. Without addition or subtraction, help us to be the church that Jesus purchased. Father, help us all as members of this church, as members of this family, help all of us to be actively involved in your work. Father, we are so thankful. We're so thankful for what you have done for us. Help us not to sit back and not do anything for you. Help us to see souls around us. Help us to see our brethren, and help us to do good on a daily basis. Not for our glory, but for yours. Not to please ourselves or somebody else, but to be pleasing in your sight. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Help us to find a place to serve you, not only by the things that we will volunteer to do in this booklet, but by things that we can do without a program, without anybody asking us to do, but by simply living like Jesus today. Father, use us in every way that you can. Let us be an instrument in your hand to fulfill your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Forgot to mention one more thing. Every element you may have noticed, every element of our purpose, they all have arrows. There's the arrow pointing to God, the arrows pointing to the lost, the arrows that involve the church, and the arrow pointing to heaven. Arrows indicate movement. Arrows indicate action. And even those arrows with inside the church says there's movement, there's stuff going on there. And so I want to ask you this morning, are you a part of His church? Are you a part of the church that we read about in the New Testament? Are you on your way to heaven? The Bible says, in order to be on your way to heaven, that you've got to have all of your sins taken away by the blood of Jesus. And for that to happen, you need to believe that Jesus is God's Son. Believe with all of your heart that He died on that cross for you, that He was buried on the third day, He was raised again. Do you believe that? The Bible says, with that faith in your heart that looks at your sin and says, wait a minute, my sins put Jesus on the cross. I don't want my sins anymore. And so there needs to be a decision of repentance, is the Bible word, that says, I want to stop doing what's wrong. I want to start doing what's right. And if you're ready to make that decision today, to give your life to the Lord, then you can do what they did in the New Testament. You can confess your faith in Jesus. In this very day, you can do what Israel did on Friday. Anthony did on Sunday night. You can be baptized into Christ. You know why Israel didn't wait for today to be baptized? Because on Friday he realized that he was not right with God and he wasn't going to wait any longer. He was like that Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8. He said, look, here's water. I want to be baptized right now. Do you have sin separating you from your God? Ananias said to Saul in Acts 22, 16, why are you waiting then? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins. God will add you to His church. He'll register your name in heaven. And then He calls upon all of us to serve Him faithfully, to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Is your heart right with God? Is your life right with God? If it's not, why don't you come as together we stand and sing.